Welcome this morning to the Lord's house. We're going to commence our worship now with number 207. If you are using our hymnal, Eternal Spirit, Praise We Bring. Let's stand, please, as we worship the Lord. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, committing our morning worship to the Lord, thankful that He has given to us the grace of a new day and a new Lord's Day. And to be in the house of God is a great privilege and a blessing from Him, and we are thankful for that this morning. Let's lift our thanksgiving and our praise to Him. Loving Father, in the Savior's precious name, we bow in prayer today. And at the commencement of our service, we pray for the necessary help of the Holy Spirit in our worship, in our praying, audibly and silently. Father, we need help to understand the Word. We pray for the Spirit's direction and application of that Word to our hearts. Lord, grant to us, we pray, a heart filled with joy, thanksgiving, worship of the God of heaven. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name today again with thanksgiving for health and strength, the joy we have of coming to fellowship one with another, and most of all, Lord, to lift our praises to the God of heaven. Father, our deep desire is that we would know a close fellowship with our God and Father. We pray, Lord, that there would be nothing to hinder us going on with God. Lord, we pray that we will walk in close fellowship with you moment by moment. We pray that the Savior would be revealed more and more from the Scriptures so that we will walk in fellowship with Him. And Lord, what we ask for is the changing of our hearts, making us more conformed to our Lord and Savior. Lord, we see so often too much of the old man, the old ways in our lives, and our desire is for those things to be removed from us. And help us, Lord, daily to be filled with grace and the spirit of wisdom and discernment. we will see the times and the seasons that we're living in and realize the attacks that are all around us to take us away from walking close with the Lord. Take us away from being a shining testimony. Lord, preserve us, we ask, by the power of the indwelling Spirit, that we will not stray and fall into bypath meadow. Lord, we're asking today for joy and blessing in a life of victorious living for our Savior. Lord, we pray that today will be a high day in your house as we consider the Scriptures and meditate much on the goodness and greatness of our God to us. We know the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift, Lord, has come down from your kind and gracious hand. We are blessed beyond measure. Father, as we think of those who are grieving the loss today of their dear loved ones, we pray for Reverend Wagner and his family to help and bless them in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead. Those in our own fellowship that have recently been bereaved, we hold them up to thee earnestly today and continue to pour in your joy and comfort, Lord, because as the time goes by, well, the memories and the pain is still there. And so we pray for much grace and help, Lord, in these times of need. We're thankful for blessing upon those who have been sick and are now making good improvement. Thankful again for our brother Henry Lee, but continue to hold him up, Lord, and our sister Kathy, that you would bless them abundantly, strengthen them. Thankful for the good news we're hearing from that in Cloverdale, little baby Barbara we've been praying for, Lord. Continue your hand on this little one. Remember those that have requests that are very private to them, cannot speak of them openly. And Lord, we know we all have burdens on our hearts. And therefore, we bring those burdens earnestly today and ask that you would answer our prayer according to divine and perfect will. Lord, bless our nation. Bless us with freedom. Bless us, O God, with good and godly government. And to this end, we ask, Lord, to deal with our politicians, to speak to their heart in salvation. And Lord, to restrain them from their evil intentions and from their party politics. And Lord, grant to us, we pray, leaders who will be governed by the Spirit of God and do that which is right. Ah, Lord, where hearts are heavy at times and sometimes discouraged when we see the rise of wickedness around us and the advancement of evil things. And yet, Lord, in the face of all this, we stand confidently knowing that we are living in the victory of Calvary and of Christ, and that our Savior is coming back again. Oh, Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. Help us to be the people we are to be in our generation. Help us to be lights to shine in a dark world. And let not the devil get the mastery over us in any way. Let us not succumb to his temptations. Father, make us strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. So hear us now today. Father, revive our hearts. Quicken our souls. Lord, save precious souls, we're asking. Give us household salvation. May there be unity around every and in every family. Lord, hear us today. Bless us. Be with us now in this morning service. Lord, today we're marking Father's Day. Today we're marking a day of giving thanksgiving for our fathers. And I pray, Lord, that there would be great appreciation from every soul. Lord, bless, we ask, everyone who is have the gift of blessing of being a father. Lord, we pray that you would encourage their hearts, bless them in the leadership of homes, bless in the raising of children. And Lord, for those who are grandfathers and even beyond that, to daily be in prayer for our children and those in our families. So, Father, hear us now in our intercession today. Receive our thanksgiving. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's continue, please, in our worship. Psalm 51. Standing to sing. Please turn in your Bibles now to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, the first 13 verses. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. May the Lord bless, we know he will, his word, as we have read it publicly, and as we pray it will be committed to our hearts. Yes, friends, there are times that we are very frustrated, cast down, saddened when we see the advancement of evil around us. Yet let us not forget the truth of God's word. And the truth is simply this, that though there might be a season when evil men advance, blossom, flourish, yet we know with confidence that the word of God is absolutely certain and sure. And the final verse we read today was that the Lord will laugh at the calamity, laugh at the thinking of the wicked, that they will advance, that they will step beyond God's hand. No, friend, it will not happen. The Lord is good. He is kind, and he advises us strongly not to be filled with anxiety or fretting against those that come against his people. We are on and living in the victory of Calvary, and so let us rejoice in that great truth today. And I think as we recognize this morning Father's Day in the leadership of homes, and when you have your family members that are looking up to you, dads, fathers, for leadership in the home, for how you are to respond in the times when there are great uncertainties and upheavals and attacks of the wicked one, your wives are looking to you for leadership. Your children are looking up to you. And sometimes it may not just appear to be that way, but fathers, you have to realize we all must see ourselves as under the hand of God, being directed to lead our homes in the right way. And may we always be men of God, seen to be leaders in that particular sense. And so we certainly welcome you today, fathers, to our service. And we have some grandfathers here, and we also have some great-grandfathers here today. And if you're not in the service, but you're watching online, we want you to know you're very, very welcome. We pray that God would bless you, encourage your heart, strengthen you in the things of God. Now, today at the end of the service, we have a little token, a little gift for you, dads. And it's a pad of paper with a pen shrink-wrapped in it. But we don't want to make the ladies feel left out, because the mums, we were not able to do this because there were no in-person services for Mother's Day. So we thought, no, we want to have one for mums as well. But then today it's special because we're able to be back in the house of God. And so we want to welcome everyone who is here with a little memento to take home. There's a lovely verse of scripture on the top of this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, some of the packages have black pens and some have blue pens. We tried to get red ones, but they just did not have any in the stores. And so he had to suffer, or he had to be satisfied with the blue ones and the black ones. Whether the blue ones are for the ladies or the men, it doesn't matter. You take your own. But one thing I think is important, the ladies will be happy for this, because you can write on every page and every line the to-do list that you want your husbands to accomplish. Yes, and for the men who get the pads, there are corresponding pages, the equal number of lines. And men, the only words you have to write on your pages is, yes, dear, done, on every page, and everything will be happy. You'll be good to go, and a happy wife is a happy life, so I'm told. And that's how things are. So we want to welcome you all today. We're happy that you're here and encourage you as we rejoice in the good hand of the Lord our God upon us. Yesterday in Greenville, South Carolina, was the funeral for our sister Kim Wagner. That was a solemn day for Reverend John and for his family. I would encourage you to go onto the website, Sermon Audio, at the Faith page, and at your time to watch that very fitting memorial to our sister Kim, and to thank God. Today is her first Lord's Day, if we could say it, in glory, and we are thankful for the memory of our dear sister. Let me encourage you to remember the sick ones in our congregation. I was able to speak this morning with our sister Kathy Lee, and she reports that Henry is making good progress, though still not completely clear of all the impact of COVID on his life. And Kathy herself is strengthened and doing better. Very appreciative for the prayers of God's people. I said to her, Kathy, is there anything that we can do for you? She says, you must continue to pray. That's all you can do. And that's what she was requesting. And so we will certainly do that. And remember, please, all the others who are needing prayer within our fellowship. Last evening, we had our Connect group for young adults, and it was another good turnout, and we were thankful for the good testimony from our brother Billy Lai, and then also the word brought by Brother Simpson from Prince George. And he brought a good challenge to all of us on the importance of the prayer meeting. He dealt with Acts chapter 1, verse 14, how that the Lord commanded the apostles and the women who were there to wait until the Lord fulfilled the promise of the day of Pentecost, and they were gathered in the upper room for prayer. And there's a great message of encouraging the people of God to set the priority of the calendar of the week for the prayer meeting. And we have had such a blessed and encouraging response from all of the Zoom meetings we've been having, and many folks joining with us. And let me encourage you, as we're now with in-person prayer meeting services starting the 1st of July, well, to set yourself for that. But even in our Zoom meetings and whenever we have these again, really be encourage you to participate and to set this time aside as an important part of the week's opportunity of seeking the Lord for the needs of the congregation. So that was a good ending. We're taking a little break now for July and August for the Connect group. We're starting again in the will of God in September. Also, let me encourage you about the Behind the Wall, a 10-part mini-series on the Ten Commandments. They're going to be taking part throughout the course of the summer, so continue to pray for Daniel and Rebecca as they put those together. For all the boys and girls, I hope you'll make sure to be watching for those. Now, on the screen behind me is the masthead of the Let the Bible Speak Radio LTBS Canada. Yes, Reverend Ian Gallagher, who is retired from Cloverdale, he is still maintaining this ministry across Canada. Of course, we've been praying about that. And there's actually on WDCX at 9 a.m. Sunday morning, there is the broadcast that goes out. And that's, of course, the Buffalo FM station. And he has produced this newsletter that's going to be emailed to, well, all the people who want to receive it, and certainly of all of our churches in Canada, and encouraging everyone to be a part of it. So we've connected a link to our website, so you can go on there and read this, the updates and the news items, the testimonials that will be coming through from radio listeners. And I think it's very important for us to be praying for the outreach of the radio broadcast. And he is starting out about the need for calling all Canadians back to God. And our brother Ian's doing a series on that. And so I would encourage you to follow and to be in prayer for that. Thank you, brother. You can take that down now. Also, an update from Jason Boyle in Mexico, our missionary there. He's letting us know that they have secured new accommodations for their church services. And this is an encouraging thing. They're going to be meeting in there starting July the 11th. They had really outgrown the place they had before, and it was extremely difficult to find a place that was affordable. And so what they have arranged now, they've signed a contract for a warehouse. It's really a formerly a mechanics workshop, And so they've got a lot of renovations to do on the inside. But I thought that's kind of fitting because as being a mechanics workshop to fix automobiles, well, in a sense, Brother Jason's a bit like a mechanic, but he's a preaching mechanic. And he's going to be there to fix up and do what he can to help and repair lives. And do pray for that work as they continue there. That's kind of a stopgap for them because they really desire to purchase their own property and be able to build their own church building in Mexico. And do pray for the advancement of the work of God there. It's a very extensive newsletter, lots of information that Jason has sent out, very informative. But I'll leave with you this one part here too, and that's to do with their adoption process that they've been working on for their second child. And they have to yet go through another interview with the judge and go through another series of testings and so on. And these are all very stressful for the family, but do pray for them as they will face that. Many other encouraging things going on in the work there. As far as an update on Jamaica and Brother Randy Gunnings and the car accident that he had, he's doing better as far as that goes. Do continue to pray for his wife Jillian. She is nothing related to the accident because Randy was alone in the vehicle, but she has other health concerns, and we're asking for the Lord to keep his hand upon her and bless her. Think, please, about the services today. 5:50, our prayer time in the basement for those attending, and then on Zoom, and our evening service at 6:30. We'd like to ask you to read Psalm 77 this afternoon, if you would like to. I want to speak on some parts of Psalm 77 tonight in our evening service. And on Wednesday evening, our prayer meeting will be the annual general meeting. And each year we have this to give an update on just how the Lord has blessed throughout the course of year. Really, it's year 2020, because that's the financial update for that. And it's been a year, well, unlike many others. And we want to praise God for all he has blessed us with and give you that report. That will be on Zoom only this coming Wednesday evening. It's a busy week for us, because on Wednesday for our Whitfield Christian Schools, it now comes down to the final week of regular online classes. So this is our graduation this week for the grade 8s on Wednesday and the grade 12s on Thursday. And it will be a very limited graduation, but it will be here on the premises, outside, and oh, there's a combination of things happening. But do remember all of our graduates, that the Lord would bless them and encourage them as they come to the end of this academic year. And for our grade 12s, it's been really difficult, because as they come to leave Whitfield now, it has not been a very easy time for them. Do hold them up in your prayers regularly. Next Lord's Day are regular services, and then an advance announcement for July the 4th. This is a significant marker. July the 4th, on the very day, marks the 45th anniversary of the first service that was held in 1976. And so, Dr. McClelland, God willing, will be sharing testimony that morning of some of the reflections that he has going back to that very first service. And it was a significant time of God's providence in establishing the work here in Toronto and all that has been done from that time until now. And so on July the 4th also, we will be having our communion service following the morning worship time. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise now, number 202, Breathe on Me Breath of Life. Remain seated, please, while we sing. Thank you. I'd like you to turn, please, with me now in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5. As you're turning up there, some of you may see that I have my cell phone with me in the pulpit. Well, this is for emergencies. If Brother Jonathan in the back room has to get an important message to me in the pulpit. We used to actually have a telephone in the pulpit, if you could believe it. There's a telephone jack down here for that very purpose, but that's been gone for years. But I don't want to see anyone else with their phone out in the church service. Now, that's a no-no. No answering texts or anything like that. But if it's only for emergency that I have to do that. So we're reading from Book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Join with me, please, for a word of prayer. Father, settle us now as we come to the Scripture and the Word of God open. Take away every distracting thing. And I pray that the Spirit of God would come and work in our souls just now. And Lord, we would see the importance of being people of prayer, and especially as we are dwelling and encouraging dads today, that you would help every father to be a man directed by God. Hear our prayers today, Lord. Bless our homes. Bless our families. Give us homes where the Word of God is set forth as being central. Give us homes where dads are known as men of prayer. Help us, Lord, to be servants of the Most High. Watch over us now. Bless this morning meeting. Give me help, Lord, I pray, to speak the Word of God faithfully. For I ask in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I don't think it's a surprise for any believer here to know that prayer for your life is your support system. We need to consider carefully the value and the victory of a life of prayer and to make it a priority to seek the Lord with all our hearts, minds, souls and strength, so that whatever other duties we have, the neglect of seeking the Lord will not take its toll. Of course, today we're recognizing Father's Day, and for me as a pastor, I have another opportunity of focusing upon those who are fathers and of presenting the scripture, in this case today, drawing from James chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17. Specifically, the words, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. For Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." If you are not a father here today, do not think for a moment that this scripture does not apply to you. It applies as the Holy Spirit takes it to man, woman, young person. And I want you all to heed the word of scripture today. Now, the title of the message is very simply this: Praying Fathers. You know, there are many good things that could be put next to the name father. You could have a busy father, a supporting father, a kind father, a generous father. And maybe there are some not so good descriptions: a disengaged father, a grumpy father, a demanding father, an absent father. But I tell you today that by far the most important epitaph that could be connected with your name is that you are a man of prayer, a man who is in touch with God, a man who would be known as a praying father above all other descriptions. It should be the highest goal. And of course, in order for that to be true, there also has to be a living relationship with the Lord. And so the first point I leave with you today from the text of Scripture that we have, this is an honorable name tag. For Elijah was referred to as a righteous man. And if you're going to be known as a man of prayer, then before it ever comes to that, you must have this honorable name tag as a righteous man. And this is not just righteous to have a nice shining image so that other people would say, "Oh, there's a nice guy, there's a good citizen." No, this is something that is before God primarily. Elijah is referred to here as a righteous man. But we know from our recent study of Elijah, and you would know from your reading in Scripture, that it doesn't mean that Elijah was a perfect man. We know he had feet of clay. We know he was an imperfect specimen. And the Lord highlighted that for us in the life of that man, because he was exalted to such a high extent, but the Lord gave us a little window in to see that, yeah, there were some issues. And my, if the Lord was to put our testimony out before people, and if he was to highlight some of the godly traits that you might have, yet still he might make known one or two of the flaws, so that we are all understanding that we're very limited. We're just people of clay, aren't we? We have so many imperfections. Yet the illustration given in James of a praying man was that he prayed for the rain to be withheld and then for the rain to come. We know that he ran before Jezebel. He was a righteous man. He was a man who stood before God as a man of honor. And yet, he was at heart just a man. And I think, friends, for us, when we understand what God has done in our lives as being converted, saved by His grace, the Lord has placed us before His own holy throne, the view of who we really are on the inside, or in this sense, about how God Himself views us. And how the Lord views us is so much more important. And God has taken us from the place of our sinful, depraved condition, and He has placed us through conversion, through faith in Jesus Christ. He has brought us out of our spiritual darkness and into the light of Jesus, into the liberty of the sons of God. He has placed us to a part where we are now justified before God. Our standing is forever sealed, friend. You cannot be justified today and lost tomorrow. The Bible makes it very clear that once you are saved, you are forever saved. Don't run with that, friend, and say, "Oh, great, that means I can continue in my sinful pleasures if once I am truly saved." If God's Spirit is abiding within you, Dad, Father, don't be tempted to walk astray and go down into another pathway in some sort of false sense of approval before the Lord. You will grieve your own spirit and you will grieve the Spirit of God. No, if we are called truly by the Lord, we are changed men. We're justified by the grace of God. The Spirit of the Lord is living within us, bearing witness with our spirit. And we therefore want to live in the light of the glory and the beauty of our God and Savior. We don't want to defile Him. We don't want to dishonor the Lord. We want to realize that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, very strongly, as Paul admonished the Corinthians, do not bring God into your sin by association, because He is abiding within the true child of the Lord. We are no longer under condemnation. We are free from that. We are free from our guilt. One day we will stand before the Lord in all of the perfection of Christ, without any sin. Yes, currently we know we're still laboring through this life, wrestling with the old nature, knowing that we are already glorified, according to Romans 8, in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. But one day we will actually realize that in real time. Philip Doddridge, in his hymn, wrote, "'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and He is mine.'" What great transaction was he writing about? The great transaction of Calvary. The great transaction that Jesus Christ accomplished by His atoning work. And once He shed His blood for you, Christian, it cannot be unshed. It cannot be taken back again. The Lord has given His life for you, for His own chosen ones. And once it has been shed for you, you've been saved and forever justified and not taken back again. That's the standing that you as a righteous father have before God if you are truly saved. But is it possible that there's someone here today, oh, very really possible, that you are here in body, but you're not really with Christ in spirit? You've never been saved. You've never been brought into a relationship with Christ. And therefore, I implore you today, I stand in the Lord's place and say to you, it is time, friend, to be saved by the grace of God. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. Do not delay. Because at the moment you're not saved, you do not have such a standing before God. As a matter of fact, you are so far opposite from being justified, you are under the condemnation of God, and the judgment of the Lord is ready to fall upon you. If you go out into eternity without Jesus, it is forever and forever and forever too late for your soul's salvation. Now, God has made the opportunity for you. And so you say, well, how do I know if I am one of the elect of God? How do I know if I'm one of God's chosen ones? Maybe I'm not. And so the thought begins to go through people's minds, and the devil will encourage you, yeah, you're right, you might not be, you might not be. Therefore, reject the gospel, just go on your own way. Now, friend, if the fact is you're under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, God, by His sovereign providence, has allowed you to hear the message of salvation and truth, and into your heart He is putting His Word, then don't worry and think about all these larger subjects. Oh, what if I'm not? What if I... Come to the face of the Word of God. And the Lord commands to repent and be saved. And when you come to that point in your heart, and simply by faith reach out and say, Lord, save me, God will hear your prayer and you will be saved. And then you will know that you have a right standing before the Lord. You're saved for time and for eternity. Elijah had such a standing. And I know, friends, that many of you men, fathers, mothers, you have this standing today. If you're a little uncertain, if you're not quite sure about it, well, just bring that very matter to the Lord and say, Father, I don't know. I don't really feel I'm saved. I'm uncertain about it. You bring that prayer to God and pray that He will confirm it to your own heart, and then you get to the Scriptures and read. Because when you read in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will take the promise. He will reveal the fullness of Jesus Christ to your heart. And then you will have the confirmation, the assurance, the certainty that you belong to Him and He belongs to you. But I say to you that this evidence of a standing before God, of being a righteous man, it will also be evident before other people in the world. A righteous man is a new man, a new creation. Yes, old things pass away and all things become new. Your thinking has been changed. No longer can a man converted to Christ, having been cleansed from his sin and now possessing the divine nature of God, be content with the pleasures or the things of this world. Does that mean that a person will never fall into some sin or slip away or backslide into some thing? That can happen. But you will never be satisfied, friend, in that position. You see, if you are truly born of the Spirit of God, your testimony before men will be that you're a changed person. But if you still conduct yourself in the way you were when you were unsaved, with your same friends, going to the same places, indulging in the same sins, there's a big problem. You have not been converted. You're not truly saved. Make no mistake about it. Friend, the Bible is so clear. If you are in Christ, there is a new life. There's a new way. There's a new way of thinking. There's a new way of acting. Now, that doesn't mean that a person saved is going to be all of a sudden changed, become super spiritual overnight. No, there's a process. There's a development. But there is evidently a change to begin with where you cannot not be content and happy with a former lifestyle, because God is now abiding within your heart. You are now seen and known in the eyes of God, and it will be clear in the eyes of men. It will be conspicuous, the change that's taken place. A righteous man is seen before men as a changed man, a changed person. You know, it's an uncomfortable thing generally for us as Christians to refer to ourselves as being righteous people. The Bible says, be not righteous over much. In other words, don't be so super spiritual that you correct everybody else and you try to put forward an aura of being someone you're not. Don't be righteous over much. But the truth is that the Bible speaks about those who have been converted and changed as being indeed righteous before the Lord. And so we're a little bit reluctant of saying, yeah, I'm a righteous man. But before the Lord and in the witness of the Scriptures, that's exactly what we are. And that, my friends, is who we are. And I believe it's important for us as Christians to see ourselves as being the righteous individuals that God has made us to be by the merit of Christ that's being applied to our lives. And when we see our justification in the true sight of Scripture, oh, my friends, it's liberating. It is very reassuring. It chases away the doubts that the devil will bring to us by tempting, are you sure you're saved? Look what you did this week. Look, you come back always to the certainty of God's revealed Word. The witness of the Spirit with your heart. You know you've been saved, and there's definitely a change. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You now have authority to approach God's throne on the confidence that Paul speaks about in Hebrews chapter 4. We come boldly to the throne of grace. How? Why? On what ground? On the ground of the finished work of Jesus, on the ground of His merit, we come to approach to the Lord. And we do so boldly, not arrogantly, not irreverently, but with a holy boldness. Friend, is that how you pray? When you get before God in your quiet place, is that how you come to the Lord? You come to seek the Lord publicly in the prayer meeting. Let us seek God confidently, knowing that we cannot be kept away. We have the authority of heaven to seek the Lord with all our hearts. And let that be our heart and our confidence, being men of prayer. There is a warning, though, that of self-deceit. And the self-deceit that retains unconfessed sin and pretends that all is well when all is not well. And friends, I say this to everyone, you must seek your own heart before the Lord and be clear before Him. This is not a case of examining someone else. This is a case of judging your own heart and examining your own soul. And so the warning comes, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. So you can't be deceiving God. Can't be pretending before the Lord. William Carey wrote this. He said, prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. And I think to boil it down, what Carey was saying is this. He is saying that your own fellowship, relationship with the Lord, when all else is closed out and you're alone between you and the Lord, your own personal godliness, that is at the very root of your secret, fervent, believing prayer. Because you can't pretend with God. You pretend with others sometimes. Try to put on a good front or a good show. You can't do that with the Lord. He sees right through us. We are totally transparent with Him. And I pray that we will see our own standing as righteous before the Lord, and we will see ourselves as before men bearing a good testimony, an honorable and clear one. Won't you please notice in the second place this morning, here is a heart that must be engaged. A heart that must be engaged. Our text speaks about the effectual and fervent prayer of Elijah. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man. Does it not go without saying that when a man dares to approach God, we should not come with laziness or fatigue or half-heartedness? It kind of goes with the very territory. Could you imagine coming before the Lord, but you really come with one direction and yet your mind is going in another direction? But sadly to say, we have to confess that has been our case too many times because of the frailty of our flesh. But when we shake ourselves and realize what we're doing, we come to the point and say, "Oh God, help me. I need my heart engaged in this operation of prayer ministry. I don't want to be distracted by the things of other duties. I don't want sinful thoughts to come into the sacred place. I want my heart to be in touch with God." Do we know we are coming to the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who has made all things, and He has created us out of nothing? He holds, friend, our next breath in His hands. The one who has not only created us, but He has redeemed us from all evil. He has saved us from a lost eternity. He has saved us, friends, from hell. He has given us an everlasting home in heaven. And when we think on these things and let them distill into our hearts, therefore we approach God coldly, with half a heart, distracted by other things. Oh, let it not be so. Let it be driven away from our minds. Let us prepare ourselves to seek the Lord with all our hearts and to approach God in a manner that is appropriate to the God of heaven, of who He is. Oh, friend, may the Lord give us that fervency of prayer, the effectual and fervent prayer. Obviously, Elijah came to God with passion. This word, effectual, fervent, there are two words in our translation, but there's one word in the original. And it's a word that means to be operative, to put forth work, that which requires energy. The translators have inserted the word effectual in order to capture the full weight of this word. So how could we paraphrase this? We could say the energetic, the passionate, heated prayer with the intention of gaining a result of a righteous man avails much. So we ask ourselves a question today. Does this describe our praying, either publicly or privately? It's illustrated for us when we are told that Elijah prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Elijah, in his prayer, he sought God. In his prayer, he supplicated the Lord. In his prayer, he prayed. And in his praying and pouring out his heart, the task was urgent before him. Elijah was commanded by the Lord of what to do, and he brought the promise that the Lord had given to him. He poured out his heart and he prayed with all his heart before the Lord, and God heard and answered his prayer. Prayer we have in the Scripture is figured for us as a wrestling match. That's what Jacob did before the Lord at Bethel. And in Hosea 12 and verse 4, we have this commentary on Jacob's life. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. Hosea calls it the angel, and we believe that this is none other than the angel of the Lord in Genesis, where Jacob was wrestling with God. I don't think that Jacob, every time he came to pray, necessarily wrestled with God to that degree. Because there are times, believe in our life, when the Lord meets with you for a very specific reason and for an important juncture in your life. And the Lord will take very direct and strong dealings with us at certain periods of time. This was one such case for Jacob. But I would suggest to you this. It is a pattern to strive after. It is a longing that we have in our hearts to know more intimately the God with whom we know is our Savior. Call upon Him with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. In Psalm 141, we have these words, Lord, I cry unto Thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto Thee. Let my prayer be set before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Note that the incense had to be burned before it ascended. There was a burning in the heart of the psalmist. And as his prayers came before God and the incense would ascend up to heaven, God was pleased with the fragrance of that incense. Let our prayers, therefore, rise before the Lord as a sweet incense and fragrance before Him. Thomas Manton wrote this, Oh, that we would look to our affections and have them fired by the Holy Spirit, that they may flame up toward God in devout and religious accents. Yeah, fervency and prayer. It's not limited by our lack of the right words to say. Some folks may be very eloquent in their speaking or their praying. Others of us are very, very ordinary. And it's not a matter of how well you put your words together, and everybody else might think, oh, that's a well-formed prayer. That's not the heart before God, necessarily. And the point is, friend, that a fervent prayer, an effectual prayer, is one that's breathed out from the heart, and it's unto God the expressions, the burdens of a heart. Sometimes it's at the point where you don't even know a word to pray. And all you do is say, Lord, help me. And in your prayer, the Holy Spirit takes the longings of your heart, the cryings of your soul, and they are offered in sweet incense of intercession before the Lord. Yes, it will be by our hearts. But friends, it's also by the fact that our praying and praying in general is not easy work. An example of Elijah praying for rain, he went up at least 8 times, or sent the servant up anyways, but he was on his face praying, and the Lord tested his faith. He kept on praying. He wasn't going to stop. Anyone who is very serious about the duty of prayer knows that 1,000 other things, duties, are much easier than getting before God. Why is that? It's hard because the hard work for prayer, because prayer is a spiritual business we're involved in. And I say that the flesh hates spiritual work. And of all the spiritual work we have to do, the flesh hates praying work. Zechariah, in his prophecy, spoke about Joshua the high priest. And he said that Joshua the high priest was standing to minister, and there was someone else standing beside him, resisting him. Who was that? Yes, it was Satan. Satan standing right near God's high priest. And as he was standing there, he was resisting him from praying. William Cooper, in his hymn, wrote, "What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Does Satan tremble by our praying? I will say that he is trembling as we pray in faith, as we pray in our simplicity, as we pray with our hearts open fervently. Yes, Satan is trembling. That's why he's resisting you, believer. And in this, friends, we need God's grace to give us that perseverance to keep praying on and to pray through and not to be discouraged. In Acts 1, verse 14, we're told they all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with the brethren. Brother Simpson was preaching on this last night, speaking in our devotional for the Connect group. I already mentioned that to you. But it's interesting, the word continued that is used here in Acts 1, it is actually a stronger word than on the surface. It means to be earnest towards or to persevere, to constantly be diligent, to attend upon these very things. So as the believers, the apostles, and those who were gathered with them in the upper room, as they continued, it wasn't just that they came to pray and then they left off praying, but every time they gathered to meet in that upper room, there was a spirit of continuance. There was a spirit of persevering, a spirit of praying on in obedience to God. And you know, as we approach the ministry of prayer, we can expend much time and effort in other things that are important. But let's be careful, friends, that we do not neglect this very important ministry that God has given to us. Manton said again, it is no easy thing to pray. And to work a lazy, dead heart into a necessary height of affections. A lazy, dead heart. That kind of describes us too often, friends. Because we brush with the world, we're involved in so many other things, and to get along with God, Satan doesn't want you to come. Remember that? He's fighting against you, distractions, other things. And then when you come and all things are settled and you get before the Lord, what happens then? Your heart is cold, like an iceberg. And so you need to begin to pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit into your soul. And it's a good thing to pray over God's Word, to pray over the Psalms, and pray the fire of God into your heart. Dr. Cairns used to say that as he struggled to get before God in prayer, he would come to the Psalms and he would pray over them until his heart was warmed by the Holy Spirit, warmed by the power and the presence of the Lord. Jonathan Edwards, he said, if some Christians who have been complaining of their ministers and had said and acted less before men and had applied themselves with all their might to cry to God for their ministers, had, as it were, stormed heaven with their humble, fervent, and incessant prayer for them, they would have been much more in the way of success, that is, the ministers. And I think that's a very good thing to do. As I admonish, encourage, ask you to pray regularly for this minister, for I need your prayers. To pray that God will direct me so that I can bring to you the Word of God with the authority of heaven. Because as the Word of God is given and you receive it as coming from the Lord, then it will be a blessing to your heart, friend. I close, thirdly, with this, a result that we can expect. Elijah's prayer, we are told, availed much. It availed much. The prayer of this righteous man before God, his words, his prayers, his heart, it did not fall on deaf ears, because God is not deaf to our praying. His heart is open to receive our prayers. The Scripture does not say how much we will avail, and you will only find out that sum by trial and experience. The prayer, my friend, is the key which heaven will be opened and closed. It's God's way of working among men, because by asking and seeking and knocking and asking the Lord, we are depending on Him. We are showing our dependence upon the Lord. And you might wonder, well, why, Lord, have I been praying for all these years and my prayer has not been answered, not that I've seen yet? What is the Lord doing? He is teaching us perseverance. He is teaching us that He wants us to depend more wholeheartedly on Him for the outcome. He wants to test us and try us. God moves us in our hearts to wrestle with Him. He gives us a little picture in Luke 18 about a man who came to his friend at midnight and needed help, needed bread. And the man was already in bed with his family. Things were all shut down, lights out, turned off. He says, go away, I'm in bed now, it's too late. But the man kept pounding on his door, and he wasn't going away. And then finally the man said, oh, okay, I'll get up out of my bed and come down. What do you want? Take it and leave me in peace. What a strange illustration the Lord uses as for why you and I should come to pray and seek God with importunate praying, laying hold upon Him, asking and receive, that we might receive, because as we knock, the Lord promises that He will open. Elijah prayed on the promise of God's word, and we also are called to pray on the promises of God's word. A man subject to like passions as we are, I'm glad that's included in this portion of Scripture. I'm glad we're told that about Elijah, because it helps me, and maybe it will help you. Fathers, dads, are we leading our families with such an example today? Maybe you're in a situation where you have an unsaved dad, an unsaved husband, an unsaved grandfather, uncle. Friends, let's persevere before the Lord and pray for their soul's salvation. Pray through and pray on. If God has had in mercy as he has saved you, well, that you might pray on for your unsaved parents. In the memorial funeral service we had last Monday for our sister Auntie Sushila, I was speaking with Jasmine afterward, and some of her sisters were there. They were from Guyana. 6 children in the family, a strong and devout Hindu family. The house was full of idols. Auntie Sushila burnt incense to those idols every day, years and years, for her whole life. And one day, one of Jasmine's sisters found a gospel tract. She read it and was brought to Christ. She shared that with her sister, Jasmine, and Jasmine read the tract and she was saved. And it spread through her sisters. Her brother, who's now a pastor, Pastor Tate, he was rejecting it. He said, no, you're wrong. Your God is not the true God. And he went about reading the Bible to find out how he would prove them wrong and inconsistent. And you know what happened? Yeah, God got hold of his heart and saved him and turned him into a pastor. And now he's preaching the word down in Guyana. And the mother was so infuriated, she wanted to burn every Bible that her children brought into the house. She was against the Lord. But God used the testimony of her children and slowly was working in her heart until one day God broke through and saved her soul. You know what she did? With all that house full of idols, she took them all. And she went and she smashed every one of them. And she got out rid of everything that had to do with that false religion out of her house. She was liberated and free. What a trophy of grace this dear woman was. For the testimony of a child, the children in the home, reading a tract, coming to Christ, salvation is by grace. And the Lord caused that to reverberate. And this could be repeated over and over again, friends. Far off places that we knew nothing about. But God, by grace, brought that family to us for a time, for a season. And we rejoiced in that fellowship. And I know that many of you did not have the opportunity of knowing Auntie Sushila very well. She had moved down to Guyana when her husband was not well and he died down there. And actually her body last Friday was flown back down there. The funeral's on this coming Tuesday. But what a trophy, what a blessing to hear the story of how God's working in the heart. And so I say that to tell you, young people, husband, wife, whatever the situation is, don't let up from praying, seeking God with all your mind and heart and soul. God will break through in the salvation of your loved one. He is able. Trust Him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let's bow in prayer. Father, today we ask for the work of the Spirit of God in salvation. And whoever is hearing this message, here in the church or online, Lord, we are asking in Jesus' name to work sovereignly in the hearts of sinners and bring them to Christ. We're praying, Lord, to make us the people that we are to be, more conformed to Jesus, better disciples and ambassadors of Christ. Hear our prayer. We ask these things today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.